welcome to Friends in Your Ears, a podcast where podcaster Kathy interviews podcasters about their favorite podcasts on a podcast. I am joined today by two incredible people. I have with me Casey and Sarah. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Hi.
I am so excited that you're here. Casey, if you want to introduce yourself and let everyone know where they can find you on the internet.
Hello, listeners. My name is Casey. I'm the creator and host of the Cult Vault podcast, which is a podcast that focuses on cults and sects throughout the world and throughout history, most notably focusing on survivor stories and interviews in the most recent episodes. You can find me on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all major streaming platforms for podcasts, and on the internet. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at CultVaultPod, or you can email me at CultVaultPodcast@gmail.com.
Fantastic. All right, Sarah, what about you?
Yes. Hi, I'm Sarah Davis. I am the host of a podcast called Breathing Wind, which you can find me at breathingwind.com. It's a podcast about what it feels like to lose parents. So covers a whole gamut of topics, grief, the experience of the actual experience of losing parents, how that's affected people's lives. And I think most importantly, it focuses on life after loss. And you can find me at any of the major podcasting platforms. You can also find me on Instagram at Breathing Wind Podcast.
Wonderful. So now that we've gotten a little glimpse into both of your, positive, upbeat, very lighthearted podcast topics, let's go back into the history a little bit. And how did you start listening to podcasts? And what were some of the first ones that you found?
Well, I first started listening to podcasts after I binged every episode of Forensic Files. And I felt like because Forensic Files is the type of show that you can have on in the car and just listen to the audio. So you can lock your phone and still have Netflix playing in the background and listen to Forensic Files. And you can listen to it when you're cleaning. And it just felt like the perfect thing for me to have doing all these jobs and traveling everywhere. And then I ran out of episodes of Forensic Files. So I thought, well, actually, why don't I turn to podcasts? So I found a podcast called Morbid, a true crime podcast, and it's hosted by two funny ladies who have a lot of good vibes between the two of them and a good rapport. And so they are the podcast that I listen to mainly. I really appreciate the in-depth research, and the episodes are really long. So for commutes and housework and cleaning and stuff, they're a really good podcast to listen to.
That's fantastic. Especially, I love when you just connect with the voices and the people that are doing the work. I think that's something that's really special about podcasts, is how intimate this media is. And when you love these voices that you're listening to, and you love the topic that they're researching and talking about and putting all of this time, effort, and energy into, that's really special. Mm-hmm. All right, Sarah, what about you? What got you hooked?
Well, I started with This American Life, and it was about 12 years ago that I really began the whole binging process. I remember that I downloaded, I burned episodes to CDs for my road trip. So my road trip, my big road trip to California for grad school, I was caravanning with my dad at the time, and I distinctly recall that I didn't want to listen to books on CD, though I can't tell you why. So I think now, though, it's really like what you were saying, Kathy, it's about the personalities of people and their authentic voices. I mean, This American Life is really heavily produced, so yes, that's probably not a good example.
But I think it's still like the stories that they're telling are still very authentic and personal. Whereas a lot of times, even if you have, I think, like you have an audiobook and you have the author reading that audiobook, it's still, even if it's an autobiography, it still is even more produced, I feel, than This American Life. Because it's in that book format, and it came to be like it started to be read, whereas podcasts, even like storytelling podcasts, are the format of it was meant to be spoken. I don't know if that makes any sense at all, but I also can't. Now you're talking to somebody that has listened to both versions of the Harry Potter audiobooks multiple times, and don't ask me to choose between the verbalization acting of it between Stephen Fry and Jim Dale, because I can't choose. But it's very rare that I will choose an audiobook and instead I choose a podcast, even a storytelling podcast. It's very interesting how different they exist in my head. So I totally understand what you're saying, Sarah. Like, totally get it. I don't know why I just talked so much. I'm so sorry. Like, yeah, let's make this podcast about me. Okay, so moving on. What made you actually want to get a microphone out and start recording your own podcast?
I used to do a lot of filming of live bands and studio recordings when I was at university. I studied at a place called the Liverpool Institute for Performing Arts, which is Paul McCartney's performing arts school. So it was really special for me to actually get a place at this university. And whilst I was there, I decided I wanted to do as much extracurricular stuff as possible. So I had my camera, and I would film a lot of the music students performing at various locations around Liverpool and in the studios. And I had this mic that I just never used, and it was in a box. And years later, me and my partner, we moved into a house. We had our first child. He's coming up to a year old now. So he was a few months old when lockdown started. And I was finding myself looking for things to do during his naps in the daytime when my partner was at work. And my partner was looking for a project to do as well. So I was going through one of the boxes that we hadn't unpacked in our new house and found this microphone still in its box. And it's a Zoom H2N, so it's not a bad microphone. And I had already made extensive research notes on a couple of unsolved mysteries. I think the Dyatlov Pass and the Hinterkaifeck unsolved mysteries that I found really interesting. So I was speaking to my friend about maybe starting a podcast, because I was so inspired by the Morbid hosts. And my friend said, well, why don't you do a podcast on cults? Because cults are fascinating. And I was like, do you know what? They really are. So I started doing some more research, got my microphone out, recorded a load of bulk episodes and did a load of research. And it was, the first episode was so difficult because everything went wrong. I was like, there was like sweat dripping down my back because I found it so strange to just talk to nothing for like an hour.
Yeah.
And then I finished and realized that the recording had stopped halfway through.
Oh,
and
no.
It was a difficult process. But after I got those initial episodes done and just bit the bullet and just uploaded them onto the internet and put them out there, I just haven't looked back since. My podcast has just changed into something completely different. I interviewed one or two survivors. There was a lady I interviewed called Helen Zuman who wrote a really compelling memoir about her time in a place called Zendik Farm, and it was called Mating in Captivity. And it was such a page turner. I couldn't put this book down. And I reached out to Helen, like, I have a podcast on cults. I only have 5 episodes. Would you like to come and interview? And she was like, absolutely. And I was like starstruck the entire interview. I was like, wow, this is one of the best books I've ever read. And now you're going to sit here and talk with me for 4 hours about your cult experience. And after that, it just opened the floodgates and people are contacting me all the time saying, hey, I grew up in this religion or this sect or this movement and I really like to talk. And my therapist says it would be good for me to have these experiences, you know, for me to have a place to be sat, to sit down and be listened to for a change. And I just feel as so privileged to be trusted with these people's stories. And so that's how I got into podcasting and that's where I am now.
Oh, that's so wonderful. How inspiring that must be to like be able to provide this thing for these people to help them heal, and also to allow you, the people listening to it that maybe were in a cult or their parents were in a cult and they got out, or their friend was in a cult or something that they would never feel brave enough to go and talk to, but they have that connection with this story. So you're able to provide this like safe haven for these, mm-hmm. these people. Mm-hmm. That's so wonderful. I love that. That's so special.
Thank you very much.
Fantastic. And then, so Sarah, what about you? What got you started and sticking a microphone? Did you find a microphone in a box too?
No, actually, I'm a learning experience designer by training. So I'm very familiar with multimedia and tools, although podcasting is its own.
Yes.
Special thing. Like, I'm recording this right now from a closet because it seems to be the best location for acoustics. However, I did hear my neighbor upstairs walking around, so hopefully, fingers crossed. So I already had a microphone and I kind of knew what the setup was going to be, although that's completely changed. And I didn't even really think podcasting was going to be my way of expressing or documenting. My father passed away in 2016, and I started exploring different ways to document because that was what I was feeling the urge to do. However, every time I sat down to write a memoir about my grief experience, I was not ready for that level of therapy.
Yes.
Like, I guess what Casey was saying earlier, it was almost like I was finding a way for my own healing and for the healing of other people, too. Casey wasn't talking about her own healing, but for me, it ended up being a way for my own healing and then healing for others. So I just started by podcast Little Seed in the Sky, and I posted a Facebook post. And I asked if I had any friends willing to talk with me about the loss of their parents. And they shared it with their friends. And before I knew it, I had 30 pre-interviews. And not all of them turned into interviews, but I was floored. And so I proceeded in typical instructional designer project management style to interview everybody. I was like, I'm going to do these pre-interviews in 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. That's a lot. Oh my goodness.
So I was pretty, if you can imagine listening to people telling you their stories in 2 weeks, I was overwhelmed with tons of emotions and triggering. I had to kind of pull back a little bit, but then I got back into it. I think essentially what happened after that was I felt like this tremendous desire, this desire and holding of the stories. And I felt that existence of trust that I had from the participants. And so that kind of like pulled me forward. And I know, Casey, you used the word trust as well, so I wrote that down. I feel like once you have these precious, vulnerable stories, it just feels like to do them the best that they can be done. After that, I just began interviewing people. I, of course, interviewed too many too quick. And eventually, I established a more routine. This is around December, around having a place for ritual as well. So once I did that, everything kind of settled into place, and it helped me move forward.
That's so wonderful that you not only are providing a place to support other people, but that you found, I'm guessing, so much healing for yourself too, by having this safe space and by approaching these stories as carefully and kindly and givingly. That's not a word, but it is now. in this, you're giving these stories that safe place to exist and being able to put out in the world. And again, just like Casey, you're providing a place for someone that maybe isn't ready to talk about it, but is ready to listen so that they can maybe dwell on their own thoughts and emotions. And that's so special. That's so wonderful. I'm so glad that you were brave enough to start that journey and then were embraced by the community and the world the way that you were to continue being brave enough to go out with those stories. That's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, I definitely didn't feel brave when it came time to launching the first episode.
But you did it. Like, yes. How many people out there have, you know, multiple recordings of a pilot episode of whatever and haven't been able to hit publish, let alone like submit it to places or share it with anybody for the fear of, oh, my goodness, somebody. What it's that interesting, anytime you have any sort of personal project, that interesting balance between what if nobody listens and what if somebody listens?
Like, yeah, absolutely.
How do you deal with that? And I can't even imagine the level of vulnerability both of your podcasts have provided, and both of you talked about the trust that you're taking these stories and you're holding them into this special nest and hoping that you are telling the stories not the right way, but kind of the right way. Like, you want to make sure that you do them well.
Yeah, that's definitely a part of it, I think. When you're trusted with such sensitive information, and it's coming from a place of trauma and bereavement and sadness and anxiety and all the mental health problems that come with these types of subjects and themes, it's really difficult to find a balance between being empathetic, sympathetic, being an ally for that survivor or that victim, but also, when they crack a joke, to know that it's okay to laugh with them as well.
Yeah.
Because sometimes these people will make jokes at their own expense about things that they believed in or things that they did whilst they were part of this movement. And I think it's making sure that you are respectful with those stories and that you create a safe environment and a safe place. And I'm sure it's the same for Sarah as well with the difficult conversations that she must have. But ultimately know that at the end you're offering a cathartic experience for somebody who's gone through a really traumatic time.
Yeah, I think you put it so well, Casey.
I love it. I love that both of you are on here together. That's fantastic. Vanessa is incredible to match you both up. And I love her so much. Big shout out there. But also that we can, you know, bond. And it's important to know that podcasts don't have to be lighthearted. They don't have to be. I mean, I don't know. True crime isn't really lighthearted, but it can be lighthearted. But it's okay to have intimate conversations in an intimate media like podcasts too. And if you have the strength and bravery to be able to do something that maybe is weighing on your heart, a show or episode or like a short run series to have difficult conversations, it can be cathartic and freeing to be able to put that out into the world and see who else might need to listen to it too.
Yeah. We definitely get a lot of people getting in touch just saying thank you for releasing the episode on X movement or X cult, because it's very similar to the experience I had growing up. Mm. And it's just refreshing to know that I'm not alone in the situation. And or, you know, even if it's a deep dive, more independent journalistic episode of trying to whistleblow or shed some information on a movement that is currently active and dangerous or potentially dangerous, or family members are worried about loved ones that have gone to join these movements. Just to have people reach out and say, you know, thank you for covering this topic. There's not much out there about it. And I think it's really important that people are made aware of these things. So that's awesome as well. But there's definitely a link between mine and Sarah's. For the whole of October, I've dedicated the whole of October to Jehovah's Witnesses. So each week there will be a testimony with an ex-Jehovah's Witness from somewhere different in the world. So I've spoken to somebody from Canada, Wales in the UK, America. And one of the stories was around a young man who's been disfellowshipped from the church for approaching the elders and discussing with them why they don't believe in evolution when it's been scientifically proven. So he was disfellowshipped from his church for saying that he was leaning more towards believing in evolution, but wanting to also remain a Jehovah's Witness. So he's been completely excommunicated from his family and friends and everybody that he knows who are still in the church. And he grew up in the church. So now he is left with nobody. Everybody has shunned him. Nobody will speak to him. And he's actually going to go to bereavement counseling because he feels like he has experienced death in his family, loss in his family, which I can imagine is exactly how that feels, to just lose everybody so suddenly. So I imagine the type of therapy he'll be receiving is probably similar to some of the therapy that Sarah's interviews will talk about.
For sure. I can see.
Yeah.
That grief is, grief and loss is not just in the form of death. And I think especially with the times that we are in, learning how to grieve and learning that it's okay to grieve the loss of, you know, the ability to hang out with your friends in their house for an hour, or the loss of interpersonal connections that you may have had, or whatever plans you had. I mean, right now I'm supposed to be in Disneyland celebrating my daughter's 11th birthday.
Oh.
And I realized last week when I, because I had forgotten to remove like one of the TripIt connections. And so I got an email that was like, are you ready to go to California? And I was just like, oh, no. My heart. And it's okay to grieve these little things. Cause I mean, it's not a death. It's not a sickness. It's not like anything super intimate, but it's okay to have the grief of that loss of what was planned, and everything from losing your entire community because you left the cult that was a big part of your existence, to losing your parents, to whatever is going on, I think is so important to be able to acknowledge that grief and recognize it and move through it in whatever form feels best for your heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think there's something to be said about allowing people the space to express grief, because just so, and that's one of the reasons why I started this particular podcast. people don't really talk about it in day-to-day conversation, but it can be very foundational in terms of how they relate to the world around them. And it's not all dark. And I mean, yes, usually when you're going through grief, it feels pretty dark. But I was reflecting on this the other day. A lot of the people I've spoken to, they lost their parents 10, 20 years ago, and they're just now ready to talk with people in a public way about it. And there's something about the way they're able to reflect on how they have shifted their own perspective, knowing that life is short, knowing that they had this foundational early experience of loss, that's really beautiful. And so I do hope that that comes out as well. It's hard to, honestly, it's hard to convey that so much until you're in it.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. So now that we've all discussed grief and emotional things, let's talk about something a little bit potentially happier. What podcast episode is currently playing in your podcast app of choice if you were to hit play? This is always such a careful question. It's more intimate than what your favorite is.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I'm working on some Patreon content at the moment, and I'm covering the Ant Hill Kids cult for October. So I'm currently listening to Necronomapod's coverage of the Rock Terrio and the Ant Hill Kids as a little bit of pre-research for when I'm pottering about the house. So that's what's playing in my Spotify at the moment.
Love it. I love that you get to do research and be entertained.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And get housework done. Like, it's a win-win-win.
And yeah, all of those things, all of those things. Actually, you may just hear on my mic now that my son's just started crying upstairs.
Oh, no.
But my partner has gone to him.
Oh, good.
So if he picks him up on the microphone, I don't want anybody to think that I'm just sitting here having a lovely chat with you two ladies and that I've left him upstairs. He's in safe hands, I promise. Yeah,
I trust, obviously, trust your parenting, whatever. It was interesting. One of my previous episodes we had, I think she was like 3 or 4, like came bursting into the office with mommy and like completely interrupted. And it was great because it was real. Like,
oh, that's adorable.
Yeah, this is life, you know, and it's okay to exist. This is not this American life. This is real life here. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
So thank you for the warning. I can't hear anything, so I'm sure it's fine. All right, Sarah, what are you currently listening to, except other than our voices? Because clearly you're not listening to a podcast right now. Although, is it a podcast if we're making the podcast? I don't know. That's too metaphysical.
Yeah. So I just finished listening to the Michelle Obama podcast. I've been keeping up with all of her episodes. And I think in part because of the political environment that we're in the U.S. So it's sort of helpful to hear her perspective and hear where she's coming from. Even from the last episode I listened to was her talking to mentees of hers about being a mentor and just the idea that one small act can kind of have a ripple effect in a positive way.
I love that. I could not sleep last night. I got about 4 hours of sleep, which I do not recommend. And I do not have a small child to use as an excuse. And I woke up this morning just like so heavy with the weight of everything, and wanting to try and make a difference just in a little bit. And I actually did not even know Michelle Obama had a podcast. What kind of podcaster about podcasts am I? That's fine. So I think I need to listen to this episode specifically because touching just one person and making a single person's life better is a good goal to have. I feel like that's important right now, especially.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Especially in America, you've had a very turbulent year. I mean, it's been a strange year for the entire planet, but I feel like over here watching the mainstream news and also seeing things on platforms live from people, average people, everyday people on the streets uploading things to Reddit and other social media platforms of things that aren't necessarily highlighted in mainstream news. It just seems as if America's had a particularly rough go of it.
Yeah.
These last 12 months.
It feels like just kind of an avalanche that just keeps coming on this year. So who knows what the end of the year will bring. And like we were talking before the episode started, this episode, we are recording this on October 2nd, 2020, and the episode will come out November 6th, 2020, which who knows what the world will be like when this comes out. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to plan. And I think that's what people are having a really difficult time with is that you can't plan for what you don't know. And I'm a big planner. I'm a huge planner. I like to plan, like, let me plan. And not having the ability to really get details in there is difficult. And it's hard.
Yeah, it definitely is. It's been a very strange year. I mean, I know that just tomorrow I'm interviewing two people that have been affected by the QAnon movement, which is obviously very closely linked to the election and Trump and the cult of Trump, if you want to say that. Some people get offended, but there's a book by Stephen Hassan, who's a cult expert, and he's actually released it called The Cult of Trump. So I'm inclined to believe that it's true. And I'm speaking to two people that have been greatly affected by it. One person was a believer in the cause until recently, and is going to come and speak about how he said in his own words, he feels incredibly silly about the whole thing. And another person has lost a very close family member who they can't speak to anymore, because it always goes back to Hillary Clinton and all the conspiracy theories that link back to Pizzagate and pedophile rings and all sorts of nasty things. And now that Trump's been positively tested for COVID, all the QAnon supporters have said today that he's using it as a ruse so that he can go and capture all of his enemies. So it doesn't matter what happens, it's always, the rhetoric has always changed to fit the theory. So it can't be disproven. You can't use logic. It's a very difficult one. So even that on its own is a very strange thing that I'm seeing come out of America and spread, you know, quite quickly throughout the rest of the world.
I can't even imagine watching this from a different country with everything that's going on in your own country, and then being able to have this leak out, the American dream gets nightmared into all sorts of places, I'm sure. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So, listener, when you're listening to this, let me know how it's going in the future. So let's go to something super happy, which is what your favorite podcast is. And yes, you may have more than one favorite. That is acceptable. I would love to hear what they are, whether they're happy or sad or emotional.
Yeah, so I pretty much just listen to Morbid. I used to listen to Crime Junkie a lot, but there was a lot of controversy around that podcast. So I've tended to stray away from that now. I find the storytelling of the podcast still amazing. And I know that they have won awards for it in the last week, which is great. And they're still in the top five of the charts every week. But I try really, really hard, especially when I do the deep dive cult episodes, to make sure that I reference and use citations with everything. So it's difficult to listen to that podcast. And so I listen mostly to Morbid, and their research is usually so in depth, and they release two episodes a week for the most part.
Wow.
And they have one of the ladies that hosts the podcast, she has a newborn baby and two twins as well, and she's a mortician. So when they talk about when they talk about bodies that are found and cases, she has a really interesting perspective and insight into what certain injuries might mean and how long a body might have been somewhere before it was found, based on the state of decomposition and stuff. So yeah, I just find it interesting. And sometimes they'll do listener tales as well, where their listeners will write in paranormal experiences or near misses that they've had with serial killers and other people. So I find that really interesting as well, just to hear their listeners get in touch with them and have them read their stories out. And that's quite a nice personal touch, I think. So it's Morbid for the most part for me, and occasionally other podcasts I'll dip in and out of when I'm doing research.
Yeah, but that's your home. That's where your heart lives, is with Morbid. I love it.
Yep.
Love it. The first podcast and your main heart podcast. are the same thing. That's really special. Love that. All right, Sarah, what about you?
So I have so many. It's hard to just choose. So I have some that I would say fall into the bucket of research, like Casey says, although it's a different style of research in that I'm really looking to hear stories and stories about grief and loss and how they're spoken. So to that end, I listened to Terrible Thanks for Asking, which is a grief storytelling podcast about terrible things that happen to people. And then, you know, it's not necessarily all terrible. The host is really hilarious. So it's fun to hear her and her talk and bring in aspects of her personality as well. I listened to this is going to sound morbid.
Welcome to the show.
I listened to You're Going to Die podcast. So You're Going to Die is a live storytelling event, and it's just amazingly well done. You walk away crying, feeling your heart open up, and just this amazing experience of bonding because you're connecting with people who are sharing their vulnerable stories in either musical ways or talking ways. And the podcast really does a good job of capturing that emotion that you feel after that live event. And they're now not really focusing on the podcast so much because they did a huge pivot around around healing historical relationships with and within Black and Indigenous communities. So they have a program called We Are Tomorrow's Ancestors that they're focusing on right now. And death, sex, and money. Anna Sale is the host of this. She does a really great job of describing it, so I'm not going to butcher it. I'm just going to give you her words or somebody's words who wrote this. A podcast about the big questions and hard choices that are often left out of polite conversation. So those are like the top researchy ones. And then I think of all time, I love On Being. Conversations about meaning and life. I really, really loved the first season of Serial. Hooked me. And I think it was because I was just kind of craving something that was, I don't know. I think it had that true current crime element, but then the crime was solved. And so there was something about that that was really exciting to me to see that happen in real time.
I always find it really dissatisfying when you're so invested in an investigation and at the end they just say, and it was never solved, and then that's it.
You're like, but,
and then they leave you with that, and then you research and you go on to Google and you look for, and there'll be like a 2019 BuzzFeed article that says is this solved, and it's like clickbait because you'll click on it and they'll say no. Everything you know is exactly the same as everything else, nothing has progressed and there's been no more evidence, and it's exactly where it stood when you finished that documentary that you watched last week.
Oh my gosh, yes. Anytime anyone mentions the first season of Serial, I am contractually obligated to mention the Undisclosed podcast, and specifically the first season of that. It's three lawyer law types, lawyery people, talk about the actual case for the Adnan Syed. And one of them is like a family member of Adnan's. And they are actually, I don't know where it's at right now, but they like reopened the case, and appeals were happening or something. I missed what was going on, but like highly recommend that. It's a different, like, it goes to show how flawed our system is, but also how many, like how much information there is in stories that we don't know. I find it's really interesting. So in your free time, you know, which everyone has so much of, I highly recommend the first season of Undisclosed.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I'd even just read earlier that a podcast called The Dossier, which is a true crime podcast about the murders of Biggie and Tupac, have promoted the reopening of that case for a third time. So wow. I think it's amazing that a podcast has had that much influence over pop culture and you know, and the masses, that they're willing to reopen that case based on the information that has been presented in that podcast.
Yes. Yeah. It's so interesting. Super interesting. Well, thank you both so much for sharing all of your podcast thoughts, recommendations, information, stories, all of that. It is now time for the bonus question. Audience, if you have a question you would like me to ask our guests, just tweet with the hashtag FIYE bonus. That's fire bonus. And this episode's question is going to be, get ready to be very emotional. Get your Kleenex out.
Oh, gosh.
Would you rather have unlimited sushi or unlimited tacos for life? So not just like a one meal, but like for your entire life.
I'm a fan of carbohydrates, so I think I'm going to have to say tacos. Sushi is definitely not as popular over here in England as it is in America as well. So, and also an episode I did on the Unification Church, also known as the Moonies. They're like the number one distributor in America of seafood and sushi.
No.
I'm gonna stick with tacos.
I shouldn't have asked this question because my answer would be sushi.
Yeah. So I love this question because my favorite sushi mix up is a sushi burrito.
Ooh. Oh, so you're going for both.
Yes.
That is a sneaky, sneaky way to answer the question. And I love it. I wholeheartedly approve. These questions are made to be like dissected and have intricate answers that nobody would believe. And I love it. And both of your answers were absolutely fantastic. Even if Casey now makes me question source of seafood, that's fine. You're forgiven. And audience, thank you so much for listening to this episode of Friends in Your Ears. You can find us online at friendsinyourears.com or on Twitter at Friends in Ears. You can find Casey on Twitter at Cult Vault Pod. And Sarah is on Instagram at Breathing Wind. And I am in all of the places as at Mrs. Soup. Thank you again so much. And I hope you all have the most amazing day.